flute sounds at the same time. One has a little bit of a bite, another one is very gentle, and the third one is really nasal and it has a bit of a chip, a sort of pop at the beginning of the sound. Then I'll add, as I'm playing through, I'll add a flute that plays two octaves higher, and then another one that plays an octave higher than that, and then I'll start by adding them together by bringing one manual to another manual, coupling the registers together, and then I'll add by adding one more flute that plays three octaves above what you would normally hear. And so, do I play first? Yes, I do. Okay, so this little piece that I'm playing is called Under the Green Linden Tree. It's by Swingley. It was written a whole long time ago.
Thank you.
folks don't get to hear organ music in general, and especially hearing or seeing, because sometimes it's more visually interesting, to see two people at the organ bench, four hands and 4 feet at the instrument. The mechanics of who goes where and how to avoid getting in each other's way is sometimes the most difficult part about playing duet. And another complication is having sometimes to play at an angle. So if you, next time you sit at the piano, if you sort of shimmy to one side or the other and try to play that same piece that you've been used to playing, you might find it a bit of a challenge. So, and especially with the pedal board, the way it curves and has angles, it's radiating and concave. And so when we're both pushed to ends, we have to, the notes are much higher or they're at a different angle. So there's lots to think about. There's lots of challenges, but most of the time when Susan and I are playing, it's just great fun. We're playing on different manuals most of the time, but there's one section that we played earlier where our hands are literally on top of each other, where I'm having to play low and she's having to play high on the same manual. Samuel Wesley did not write a whole lot of organ music, and this is his only published duet. When we play the last piece today, Michael Burkhart, he's written a great set of variations that Susan and I are going to play that really show off the diversity of this particular organ. So I'd like to share with you just a bit about what I'm going to be playing. The two pieces that I'm going to be performing for you are Hakim's Fandango and Ravel's Bolero, a transcription of that. They're Spanish in form. First, the Fandango by Naji Hakim. That was premiered, this piece that I'm going to be playing, the Fandango, was premiered just 2.5 years ago for the National Convention for the American Guild of Organists. And his wife, Marie Bernadette Dufresne Hakim, premiered it. It was thrilling to watch and to hear. And interestingly enough, just a little plug, for the convention that will be here in Denver on July 7th and 10th of this very year, and which both Susan and I are on the steering committee for. We've been working for 3 years already putting this together. Hakim has actually composed a piece that will be premiered also by his wife on the closing night of our convention this summer at the Basilica Cathedral in Denver. So, just a little plug. But to the Fandango, Hakim writes, and you'll have to bear with me for this, he writes, the dance is introduced by equivocal barring of 2-4 and 6-8 times. So either 1-2-3-4-5-6, 1 and 2 and 1, so it goes back and forth. Before the exposition of a festive theme in bouncing and light periods, alternating with percussive chords in the hands. Then there's a more singing central episode, which precedes that coming back. And then finally, the Basque Fandango, on which this piece is based, ends always with another dance step. It's called an arin arin, which is in 2-4 beats to the measure, characterized here by scales in dactylic rhythm, prolonging the character of life and joy. So if you remember when studying poetic meter back in high school, he talks about dactylic meter. So that is long, short, short. Or from your perspective, long, short, short, long, short, short. So you're going to hear that right there. So when you hear that, you know the piece is starting to come to a close. And then what I'll play a little bit later is Bolero by Ravel. This is the very same Bolero that you've heard orchestras play many times. Making a transcription of an orchestral piece is something that was really very common in the early 1900s. And then it sort of fell out of favor with the organ reform movement, the Baroque reform movement, and now there seems to be a great resurgence of transcriptions. So Uwe Ludwig wrote this particular transcription. I think he did a really great job. The piece really is an exercise in restraint until all of a sudden it's not. And the original orchestration of Bolero has a steady snare drum part playing through and through. I was asked, well, who's going to play the snare part? But when you transcribe something for the organ has to do all of it. So the drum part is mostly in the pedals. And since I'm a great big nerd, I did the math, and I determined that I play 3,402 notes on the pedal during this piece. But first, this is a Fandango by Naji Hakim.
The conductor always gives the snare drum a bow. So I think that we should give your feet a bow. So it's been great to have these two wonderful musicians. Susan, of course, is here every week. Feel free to come back every Sunday if you'd like. And just listen to her play, because she does wonderful things. And Brian, all I'm going to say is, when you get to the reception afterwards, ask him how he saved our bacon at Christmas. Okay? And he'll be able to tell you the whole story. Now, for a little bit of a history lesson, and that is our organ, which was installed and dedicated in 1965. It's been around a while, and it has served Mountain View very, very well over these years. But in 2015, we started to hear some problems. And things were kind of breaking, and we were getting things fixed a little bit more often. It was difficult to find parts. And so we decided that maybe what we needed to do was take our old console and replace that with a new, more up-to-date console with the digital types of capabilities and so on. So we did that. In 2016, we asked our church council to provide for us, or to actually, not to provide, but to approve a capital campaign for us to raise $45,000 to replace our console and to add digital voices to what we already had in our pipes. And they approved that. And literally, in less than a month, our congregation had already given 80% of that $45,000. I was amazed. And so we were able to move forward. Yes. Our congregation loves the organ. So we decided we would go ahead and we would start a campaign. And so we called it the Mountain View Organ Transplant Team. And we were able to get all of that money raised, and then all we had to do at that point was we needed to find the right person to help us out with that. And that was our technician, Chris Harris, who is here tonight. Here, stand up. Chris was able to get the old console disconnected, able to put in the new console, and those of you that are organ players, you probably know the name Harry Bennett also. Harry Bennett helped us with adding in the digital voices and so on, and Chris did a magnificent job with that. And over the last couple of years, we've been replacing things like reservoir leathers and so on. And we are to the point where next month, the first week of March, he's going to complete replacing the final reservoir leather, and our organ will now be good for another, 50 or 60 years. Thank you so much. So we were thrilled to have you with us today. There is going to be a reception afterwards, but I definitely would like to thank Susan and Brian one more time.